Welcome to worship with First Lutheran on this fourth Sunday of Easter, the 3rd of May, 2020. Our prayer today comes from the World Council of Churches from the region of India. Let us pray. When we think we can go it alone, teach us to depend on your grace, so that with patience and persistence, we can transform the world. But most of all, gracious God, teach us to appreciate your goodness, for in you we have new life. Amen. Well, this is the season of birthdays for my two grandsons. Ethan turned 6 on April 23rd, and Aiden will celebrate his first birthday on May 31st. And because of this situation in our world today, the birthday party happened out in the backyard in Minnesota with a rope line between two neighboring homes, and little children from the neighbors were gathered around that rope, and Ethan and Aiden and his parents and friends on the other side of the rope, all keeping a 6-foot distance while pizza was discreetly handed over the rope with gloves on and masks on, and little children squealing with delight as birthday parties have always elicited from little kids. So anyway, they managed, despite all of the restrictions, to have a great time. In these times of mandated sheltering in place and not knowing what the future may hold for any of us, I have to say that I am conscious of experiencing an elevated level of concern these days for all the people I love, but especially for the futures of my children and my grandchildren. And I know I'm not alone in this, because many of you have shared the same feelings with me. This ache of love and connection and concern, it seems, just widens and deepens and is more tender and more fierce in these days of the coronavirus. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. And the dominant feeling that is interwoven throughout all of the appointed lessons is the ache of God's unconditional love and concern for all God's people. In the first lesson from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we are given a snapshot of what it looks and feels like when God's people reflect the ache of God's love and concern for God's people by actually living out this love of God in their relationships with others. We read from Scripture a description of what that looks like and feels like when we get it right. The baptized devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, to any as had any need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And I'm thinking now about how that contrasts with how we are as a divided country, as divided countries around the world, as we're all sort of pulling in. If we're individual states and we don't have the same incidence of coronavirus as others, we want to open, and other states that are suffering or at the epicenter want to be more guarded, more careful, and we don't agree with each other. We don't know what the best method is for going forward. We just don't know. We're on a journey. To follow through with the invitation of Jesus to ache with love and concern for others, just as we first been so loved by God, is to experience true fullness of life. That's what Scripture is telling us. When we have empathy for others, when we see the needs of others and we act upon them, when we share what we have, then we live with glad and generous hearts and we experience the goodwill of all the people. And that's what we're to strive for if we call ourselves followers of Christ. Moving on to our appointed psalm for today, Psalm 23, that most of us have memorized. Did it ever strike you, though, that the psalmist is actually writing these famous lines from the perspective of the sheep? The 23rd Psalm clarifies for us that it is not the church that is the good shepherd, Rather, the church is the assembly of those who come together in recognition of our need for the Good Shepherd, who is Christ. Psalm 23 reminds us, as my former colleague Janice Love has stated, that we must be willing to be led, and that where we are being led is into the valley of the shadow of death, into the suffering of the world, through the crucified gate of the sheep, that is, Christ Jesus himself. And Jan continues by saying, in our baptism, we give up our self-determination, our striving after power and control, and agree to become like sheep, listening only to the voice of our crucified and risen shepherd, who aches with love and concern for us. In our second lesson from the second chapter of 1 Peter, we are reminded that God's ache of love and concern for us is so intense that God just couldn't bear to stand by and continue to watch us mess up. That God sent God's Son to take the rap for us, to absorb the blame, to endure the humiliation of all that we have gotten wrong in our lives. In the words of St. Peter, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that free from sins we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were going astray like sheep. But now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Our gospel lesson then from St. John chapter 10 continues this theme of the Good Shepherd. And here is the image of a God whose ache of love and concern for us, his vulnerable sheep, is so intense that, yes, he sends his Son to enflesh that love of God in the lives of his followers. And the description that we have in John 10 is that he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Jesus' relationship with his followers is intimate. He knows their names. He knows their needs before they are even spoken. And the sheep trust in his protective love. And Jesus invites his disciples to follow him to the source of life, which is God's love for the whole world, for you and for me. But it's not such a wonderful thing to be compared to sheep, really, is it? Because sheep are vulnerable to the elements, to predators, to thieves, to viruses. They're very easily led astray. So are we. The centerpiece of Psalm 23, then, is in verse 4, and that phrase reads like this: for you are with me. On this Good Shepherd Sunday, we're reminded that God's ache of love and concern for us is unending. For you are with me. We're not promised that life will be without loss and pain and suffering. The walk through the valley of the shadow of death is very real for many in our region, in our country, and across the globe right now. And it is a walk each one of us eventually will take, in any case, together with all of our loved ones, when the end of our earthly lives comes to pass. But the Good Shepherd promises to be with us on that walk, no matter how excruciating, no matter how wrenching. We are not alone. And because the Good Shepherd has gone before us and is with us, we are called to fear no evil. I was thinking about how my happy, healthy, energetic, and fearless 6-year-old grandson's first experience of life was when he was yanked out of the womb in the context of an emergency C-section, choking on his own umbilical cord. He had some problems, so he had to do without the presence and comfort of his mother for his first 24 hours. In fact, he had to spend his whole first week in the neonatal ICU while his mother was treated for the residual effects of the preeclampsia that brought him so brutally into this world. But their prognosis was good, hence the birthday party not long ago, and all the fun of a six-year-old running all over his backyard with his friends within sight. And yet, the prognosis is not always good, not for everybody. Not all of us have given birth. Not all of us have experienced good mothering from those who have given birth to us. Not all parents have honed their parenting skills according to the example of the Good Shepherd of Psalm 23 and John 10. Really? Fear no evil in a world like this? Really? Isn't this the silent scream that we sense in the expressions of people all around us under their protective masks? Help me believe and trust in that promise as I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, because I'm not feeling it right now. Which takes us back to our passage from Acts 2 in our first lesson for today. Here we read about the followers of Jesus who are actually living in the spirit of the Good Shepherd, who are following the example of Jesus in how they are in relationship to each other and what they are doing with their resources. And the hallmark of their community is that they went about their lives with, Scripture says, glad and generous hearts. They got it right. How about us? And we give thanks to God for the blessings of this community of faith here at First Lutheran, for the good shepherding that each one gathered here has practiced in relation to one another, and for the glad and generous hearts that we have seen and felt in this church family. And I think this is because we know that by God's grace alone, alive and at work among us, we are able to face our vulnerabilities as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, whatever form that death may take in our lives. We have learned that it is better that we walk together. We give thanks for those who have taught us so vividly by their example, for those who have nurtured fellowship among us, even in the midst of the social distancing. In particular, we give thanks for our 9 shepherds at First Lutheran, who between them have been tending to the needs and well-being of our entire congregation these past several weeks. They've divided them up, and they're all paying attention to each other. And most of us have been on the receiving end, because of them, of cheerful calls and notes of encouragement from our designated shepherds. And I want to lift up all the hours of outreach that Carol, Nancy, Kurt, Shirley, Adele, Peter, Diane, and Karen have invested in being present to their respective flocks this past month. So we give thanks for all of you who pray, who sew, who distribute masks, who help stock St. Paul's food pantry or send checks for that purpose, who deliver prescriptions and groceries to those most vulnerable in our midst, who write cheerful notes expressing care and encouragement, and all those who spend hours listening to the fears and anxieties of others and bringing them a word of comfort and hope. For those who are at home piecing quilts together, for those who knit and crochet prayer shawls and chase down PPP applications at our local bank. And that is definitely a shout out to Kurt. Thank you, Kurt. We ache with appreciation for all the shepherding that is going on within families, as Bill and Shirley and Becky and Jim and so many other parents like them across this land are busy juggling jobs from home while simultaneously monitoring school assignments, keeping up with preparing meals, tackling the never-ending household chores. Day in and day out, these and other young professionals in our extended circles of relationship make do without the benefit of schools and schedules and going off to work, of play dates or babysitters to provide respite from the ongoing responsibilities of parenting. It's 24/7 now, and it's all at home under your roofs. And it only becomes more challenging in single-parent families. I've returned more than once during these last 7 weeks to the beautiful tribute Bobby McFerrin composed in honor of his mother based on the 23rd Psalm. I love playing that. It just gives my heart a chance to breathe and to remember that God has us, God has this. So as Bobby McFerrin once wrote, the key to improvisation is motion. You keep going forward, fearful or not, living from moment to moment. That's how life is. Remembering that life can be full of surprises is useful in any part of your life. You can try a new way of singing a song you performed for years, a new way of showing your family your love for them, or a new recipe. Lots of people are doing that these days. Don't just play the licks you know, he says. We're all improvising all the time. You know, we will never know for sure what's around the next bend or curve in the road of our lives. It was even that way before the onslaught of COVID-19, though I think we thought in our foolishness that we were in control. Now we are more aware. We're more aware that we need to be alert and prepared to improvise, and that we are never alone. As Good Shepherd Sunday reminds us, not in the past, not now, as we've become so much more adept at improvisation out of necessity, and not in the unknown future either. We are not alone. God's ache of love and concern for us is unending. God is the Good Shepherd in our lives. And when we are mindful of this, we ache with gratitude for God's unconditional love for each of us and for the whole vulnerable world around us. Amen.